Last time I preached, we looked at prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going through our Sermon on the Mount series, which is basically Jesus' mandate of how to live like him. Discipleship 101, if you like. When I was looking at prayer in January, it was that whole focus of, yes, God wants to know our needs, but actually our prayers should be focused on worshipping God, on praising God, on thanking God, on asking for forgiveness, forgiving others, and yes, praying for our own personal needs. But do you remember that amazing verse that I pointed out to us in Matthew 6, actually two verses, 7 and 8, when it says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Isn't that incredible? Our Heavenly Father knows us so well that before we even ask him, he knows what we need. So moving on to today's preach. Today we're talking about fasting. Hooray, I all hear you cry. That's why there was no sweets. No sweets this morning. And I bet as soon as you saw that, you start to feel hungry, yeah? You start thinking about your lunch. You start thinking about the biscuits at the end of the service. Isn't it funny? But we're going to look at this passage because it's in the Sermon on the Mount. Sometimes it's really easy to do a little bit of cut and paste of our Bibles. If we're honest, there's bits we like and there's bits that we're not too sure of. So we are going through the Sermon on the Mount. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, so we're going to look at this. So Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18, if you've got your Bibles. If not, it will be on the screen. This is the New Living Translation that we are reading from this morning. "And when you fast," this is Jesus speaking, he says, "don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and dishevelled, so people will admire them for their fasting." That sounds a bit like me first thing in the morning. But anyway, "I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you." I know a Christian leader who, when he is about to go into extended periods of fasting and praying, and during those periods, he is absolutely obsessed with buying cookery books and watching cooking programs. Probably not very helpful, is it? And this morning, we're going to look at the principles of fasting and some examples from the Bible of fasting, and then look at the practicalities. Actually, what does that look like for me in 2025? So when we looked at prayer, we looked at that whole thing that Jesus said, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray. And sadly, it's the same for fasting. Jesus says, when you fast. And the Greek word, for those Greek scholars amongst us, is hotan, H-O-T-A-N. And the word is frequently used in the New Testament to express something that is definitely going to happen on a regular basis. That's what that when means. Not when Andy buys a Ferrari, our car insurance is going to go up. It's not that kind of when, i.e. it's never going to happen. It's a when, as I'm just saying it's never going to happen. It's that sense of, you know, when the meeting finishes, we're going to leave the building. It's going to happen, and it happens on a regular basis. That's that when that Jesus is talking about. So Jesus is saying, if you're serious about following me and being my disciples, then fasting, like praying, is going to be something that happens. It's a non-negotiable. Now, we know that fasting was part of a Jewish culture. We read about it a lot in the Old Testament, and it was associated with mourning, with repentance, and with seeking divine intervention. So is Jesus just saying this because he was Jewish and because it was part of his culture? I don't think so. And we're going to expand on that this morning so that hopefully we can understand what that passage means to us in 2025. The Greek word that's used for fasting in Matthew 6:16 is nisteo, and basically it means don't eat. That's what it means. Don't eat, don't drink, don't eat. Definitely don't eat. Now, isn't it interesting? Some of you may be aware that there's a lot of research and work being done about intermittent fasting. You know, it's good for our health. There's been other work that's done about fasting, and it's good for our health. Now, that I'm not talking about it from a health benefit this morning, but isn't it interesting? Stuff that's in the Bible, often research will show that it's good for us. Fasting is good for our bodies. Now, with my NHS hat on, for some of us, fasting is not a good idea for our health, and so we need to be aware of that. So please don't, you know, go out and say to your doctor if you're a diabetic, oh, my church leader said I should stop eating. No. We're talking about the principles here. We need to operate wisdom. God has given us a brain, so we operate in wisdom. At the end of that passage that we've just read, Jesus talks about our Father seeing what we do and rewarding us. And rewarding us. He said he's going to reward us. And the word that's used means to give back, to return, to render, to repay. Isn't that incredible? We do what God asks us to do, and he rewards us. That just shows you the kind of heart that our Father God has. And it is the heart of a father. We have two grandsons, as many of you know. And our younger grandson, Elijah, who is 3. Last time we were down there, I saw he had a reward chart on the wall. And one of the things that had been put down, he was rewarded for saying sorry. And so my daughter-in-law explained to me that he'd gone through a phase of refusing to say sorry. So when he did something and he was put on the timeout step, you know, to think about what he'd done, he was refusing to say sorry. And so they're right, it's going on the reward chart, you see. So fair enough. So anyway, we had some time with him on his own. Our daughter-in-law was at work and we were playing and he got a bit carried away and he started spitting, you know, just in fun. And I said, no, Elijah, you know, you mustn't do that. And immediately he said, sorry, Grandma. And I went, that's really good, Elijah. You said sorry, well done. We'll need to tell Mummy because it will need to go on your reward chart, you see. So anyway, carried on with the rest of our day. Our daughter-in-law comes back and the first thing Elijah says is he goes up to her and he says, Mummy, I said sorry to Grandma, and there was this look on her face, that's really good, but what have you done? But he got rewarded for doing what he was told to do. God wants to reward us. He's a good father, and he wants to reward us. But Jesus also clearly says that there's a way of fasting that isn't pleasing to God. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified version, and it's on the screen. And when you are fasting, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they put on a sad and dismal face like actors discoloring their faces with ashes or dirt, so that their fasting may be seen by men. I assure you and most solemnly say to you that they already have their reward in full. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is if you are doing your fasting to get noticed as a display thing, as a look at me, aren't I holy, aren't I wonderful, then you crack on with it because your Heavenly Father is not going to be interested in that at all. A bit like our prayers. Do you remember when Jesus said, you know, don't stand on the street corner so everybody can see what you're doing, but go into the secret place and then your Heavenly Father sees what you do in secret. The key thing here is our heart attitude. It is absolutely essential. God is not interested in form or external facade. He sees our hearts, and that's what is important to him. And our motives. He sees that. If we think that we can manipulate God by our fasting and our praying, we can't. I just want us to look really briefly at Isaiah 58, because that's another passage. It's from the Old Testament, but it gives us some really good indicators of what the right way and the wrong way to fast is. And I'll just read it for us and then unpick it a little bit. And this is the Israelites talking to God, and they said, "Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed?" And then God replies, "Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarrelling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast that I have chosen, only for people to humble themselves for a day? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what they call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, 'Here am I.'" I recommend that you read the whole of Isaiah 58. It's such a powerful chapter of getting God's heart. God's desire is that when we fast, our hearts come back into alignment with his. It's not just about going without food, which is the most basic thing that we need, but it's recognizing our utter and complete dependence upon God. My pride, my arrogance, my self-sufficiency has to yield to the lordship of Jesus and the will of God. And fasting helps me in that. God was angry with the Israelites because they went through the motions. They went through the physical act of fasting and denying themselves, but it had absolutely no impact on the way they were living. It didn't make a jot of difference to how they were living their lives. They continued to be disobedient to him and to live selfishly. Their hearts remained hard and stubborn. And that's the point. That's the point. It's the shift in our hearts, I believe, when we fast that God is interested in. The end of that passage as well, the amazing rewards of when we get fasting right with God. It talked about salvation, healing, godly attitude leading us forward, and God's glory protecting us. Wow, I want to be in that place. I don't know about you. And later on in that passage, there's even more rewards spoken about. So why does Jesus underline the necessity of fasting? Because he knows the spiritual benefits. And we'll talk a bit at the end. I'll share a bit at the end about Jesus himself fasting. He knows the spiritual benefits and the blessings of fasting. Because fasting isn't an end to itself. It's not something to just tick off. It's a means of focusing our minds and our bodies for a spiritual reason. It's praying with our whole bodies, if you like, denying our physical appetites to strengthen our spiritual appetites for God. It's a way we can kind of try and dial down some of the stuff that takes so much of our attention and our appetite to dial up the spiritual side. Can I have the next slide up, please? It takes us to a humble position before God, recognizing our absolute need upon God for everything. It's so easy for us to convince ourselves that we've got life sorted, that we do it on our own. But we can't. We need God. We need God. We need God for the very essence of our being. Fasting I came across this phrase and I thought, yeah, that encapsulates what it is. Fasting is like creating a sacred moment when our focus isn't distracted and our hearts realign to the plans and the purposes of heaven. It's a space and a place where we can press into your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus addressed those that were making this great show of their fasting, didn't he? Because they'd missed the point. They'd missed the point. I came across this quote as I was preparing, and it says, when we fast, more than we want our hunger to cease, we want your kingdom to come. We want your kingdom to come. So let's look at a few examples in the Bible to expand our understanding on the why. And we're just going to go through a few in the old and a few in the new. God called the Israelites to fast on the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, as we will know. It is the most holy day in the Jewish calendar. It's a day of repentance when people humble themselves before God as a nation. Esther called for a three-day fast, didn't she, when the existence of the Jewish people were under threat, and she called the Jews to fast for 3 days. That is sometimes called an Esther fast. You might have come across that. That's what that is. It's a period of 3 days of fasting. And through that, God gave Esther a genius strategy to foil the evil interventions of Haman. It is a genius strategy if you read it. And that came out of that 3 days of fasting. Ezra fasted before he traveled to Jerusalem because he wanted safe passage. In Judges 20, we read that the Israelites fasted when they were losing the battle against the Benjaminites. They fasted and inquired of God what they should do, because they'd come against the Benjaminites twice and they'd been defeated. And they asked God, what should we do? And they fasted and they humbled themselves before God. And God said, go again, because I am going to give victory to you. And they went again. So God again gave them strategy. The nation of Israel came to God in repentance. In 1 Samuel 7, we read about that. The whole of the nation fasted before God. And then in Jonah, we have the story of Jonah running away from God, being eaten by the whale, coming back to the Ninevites, preaching, you know, that they were going to be annihilated by God because of the evil in them. And they humbled themselves before God. And it says not only did they fast, but their animals fasted. Whoa. I don't know what my theology is on that one, but the animals fasted. So if you've got animals, you know, it's scriptural. Your animals can fast. And God saw what they did. And he relented. He changed his heart. And they were saved. Amazing. Amazing power when we fast. In Acts 13, the church in Antioch gathered to fast and pray. And during that time, they sensed God say to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. There was corporate fast that resulted in Paul and Barnabas being sent off on their first missionary journey into the Gentile world, a significant assignment that came out of a period of fasting. And then we see the incredible example of Jesus. He was baptized, he came up out of the water, the heavens opened. God said, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. And then the Holy Spirit led him into the desert where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then the devil comes. The devil comes to tempt and to test Jesus. When he was physically weak, but spiritually strong, he resisted the devil, and we know the devil left him. And then in Luke 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. That was a pivotal moment before Jesus' public ministry. He resisted the temptation of compromise and fame over obedience to his Heavenly Father. And he came out of that period of fasting and temptation, we know, in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we fast in the right way, we shrink physically, but we grow spiritually. We grow spiritually. There's more examples, but I want to earth what this looks like and what it looks like for us practically. And I only know from our experience. We're on a journey with this, but we haven't arrived. We try to make fasting part of the rhythm. So Andy and I are on a journey with this. We've left, as they say, but we haven't arrived. We want to make fasting part of a rhythm of our life. Like prayers, we want to make fasting part of the rhythm of our life. We have to some extent, but we want to do that more. And we have had and will have extended periods of fasting. Specifically, we want to see breakthrough, when we want to have guidance about something, where there's a fresh consecration of our life to the Lord, when there's big decisions to be made, and when we know the Holy Spirit is asking us to do that, that nudge. When I was preparing this, actually, it was really interesting. So we'd been busy this particular morning, and so I was going to have a late breakfast, and when I got back, I was in the kitchen just preparing some cereal. I was really looking forward to it. And there was just these downloads I was getting from the Lord about today. And so I thought, you don't want me to eat this, do you? And God said, no. But that's what I mean. We can be intentional and deliberate, which is right sometimes, but also there might be in that moment you just sense the Holy Spirit saying, are you going to give me this time? Are you going to give me this time? This church was birthed out of an extended period of praying and fasting. We started to pray for 3 days. And when I say we fasted, we weren't not eating or drinking anything for 3 days. We were skipping meals during that period of 3 days. So maybe lunch, breakfast and lunch, and then having dinner. Just so, you know, I don't want people, you know, whatever the intention God shows you, that's okay. I don't want people to think we're really pious and, you know, never eating. No, but I'm just, you know, just being real. Some people I know in this place will have done extended periods of longer. Anyway, so it was a period of 3 days we'd set aside to God to just ask, was there anything else he wanted us to be doing for him when our daughter left home to go to university? And during that 3 days, the church leader from Christian Growth Centre at the time wanted to see Andy and said that they had sensed for a long while that there needed to be a church plant in Billericay from Christian Growth Centre in Chelmsford. And there had been something that had been a real sign to them. They'd had a letter, but I don't need to go into that details. And Andy's going, oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and you and Jane are the people that we want to do it. So our 3 days turned into 21 days because we were like, this is big. This is so big. We have so got to hear from God because this was so not on my agenda. And there were so many fleeces that we put down during that 21 days. And everyone was a yes, yes, yes. So this has come out of a period of prayer and fasting. It's really important when we're making those big shifts that we know. We fast corporately, or you are invited to join us in fasting quarterly, twice a year, the beginning of the year and generally in September. And that is a time for us to come together and to pray, to seek God together for our church, for our town and for the nation and beyond. And they have the potential of being really powerful times when we engage in what God is asking us to do. Very simply, for me, fasting is denying my appetites. And going without food creates some space and time. I don't need to eat it. I don't need to prepare it. It creates more space and time to do those things. Often, not that we watch a huge amount of television, but often We will fast TV as well when we're fasting. It might be some people here, it's social media, particularly the needless scrolling that, you know, it might be that you think, I'm just not going to do that for the next however many days. And when I'm tempted to do that, I'm just going to pray. It's some simple things, some really simple things. And we found it really helps to sharpen our focus. God honours it. God absolutely honours it. But it's a very personal thing. There's no like ABC. It's a very personal thing because we know God doesn't want us to do it, to be seen to be doing the right thing. That's what he was saying. I don't want you to be doing that. I want you to be listening to me, to go into that secret place. Am I asking you to do this? Yes, I am. Then, so is that, it's out of relationship. You know, we're entering into season of Lent. Now, I know it's not necessarily a biblical thing. I mean, it's a church tradition. It's not necessarily a biblical tradition, but I know some people during Lent will fast things, will give things up. And that doesn't have to be a bad thing. You know, it may be you give up chocolate or just as a beginning thing. The key in it all is to be led by the Holy Spirit. I heard a phrase yesterday, Andy and I hopped onto a sort of teaching session from Westminster Theological College, and this guy was talking about something, and he said this phrase, and it really kind of resonated with us. And in the context of this, I just want to say, and he said, sometimes we give up the good to enter into the greater. And I thought, yeah, food is good. I like food. And there's times of feasting in the Bible as well, you know, so there are times of feasting. But we give up the good to get the greater. So in summary, I think fasting needs to be part of the rhythm of our lives. It helps us recognise our utter dependency upon God. It gives us space to focus on God and not on ourselves and on our appetites. It positions us, I believe, to hear from God, and it shows intentionality. It can create really fertile soil for breakthrough, and it brings us spiritual life. And although we don't do it for this, God rewards us. That's not our motive, but God rewards us. I'm going to pray. Father, sometimes there are passages in your word that we find uncomfortable, we find difficult, we find challenging. And I guess this is one of those. And I want to ask for each one of us in this room and those that are listening to the recording, God, they'd hear your voice on this. That we would be a people who are obedient to you and who walk in your ways. And I want to pray for each one of us, Lord God, that you would speak to us as to how we can embrace this in the rhythm of our lives so that we can encounter and find a joy and a peace and encountering your presence in a way that we never thought possible when we are meeting all of our desires and not dialing those down to focus on you. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for the way you are moving in our lives. And I pray that we would learn to give up the good, to enter into the greater, to glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen.